So when I was preparing for today's sangha, this question, I was staring at a plant, and what came to my mind was, like, why are we really here? We're on this samsaric wheel, and meaning we're in this continuous, we're looping all the time, actually, meaning we're born and then we die, and there's this continuous. It's a cycle, right? And so we physically loop, but we mentally loop also. We're always, I was speaking with someone yesterday, and they had a difficulty that happened, and they shared it, and then they kept sharing it again, and then they shared it again. And they were going into the fourth time. And then I said, I heard you and I understand. And did you notice that you're saying the same thing, almost like you're watering that, you're looping, you're in your loop. And they said, oh, I didn't even notice I was doing that. And it really stuck with me, actually. And this morning, when I was staring at the plant, I thought, it's all a loop. It's a mental loop. And there's some things that we keep the, what we'd say regurgitating, over and over mentally. Certain things that have happened to us, the difficulties that have happened to us. Sometimes we loop the positive things, but we also know we tend to not loop the positive things as much. And what we might even wonder, wouldn't it be nice to loop the positive things more than we loop the negative things, right? And yet we don't. And now we know that we don't, because now there's more research showing that. And so to today, then last night, and then even I continue today thinking more about just the looping and the samsara being another loop, and then I started thinking, what is this purpose here? And then I remember, in Buddhism we're not supposed to do that. Remember, in Buddhism we don't get into the whole metaphysical, why are we here, all that. The Buddha would say, wouldn't he, the Buddha wouldn't answer those questions when asked, right? So I left it alone, and then I started thinking, there is a reason that we're here. And the reason is to understand why we loop. Understand, and that's what this practice is. Because if we understand why we keep looping, whether it's in this form, in this iteration, now, why do we keep looping in our mental, in our mentality, right? And that the reason that we're here is to actually learn how to stop looping. Yeah. I mean, the deeper the teachings are that we are coming, we're learning how to not keeps suffering in this cycle of samsara. And that suffering comes from this mental continuous regurgitation. And those moments when we pop out of it, these are the moments that we are like, oh, I have understanding now. So this time, like this precious time that we have on this earth, in this form that we currently are in, is to really figure out how we stop our looping so that we can make this place this world, this little area that we take up space in, a better place. A better place that doesn't encourage us to continuously do that negative thinking and that looping. And then also in the process of doing that, creating that space in all the different places that we go in, whether it's with our family, the person in the next room, the person that lives upstairs. And it's really simple, right? So, because it really just takes us in any engagement to come back to this understanding of why we're here. So we run into someone, we see someone on the street. Now, if we're not looping, we're actually might offer them a smile. But if we're looping, that smile is not available to us in that moment because we are taken up in reliving something that, and it doesn't have to be something negative. It could be a project that we want to, that we're working on. It could be something we have to do tomorrow morning. It could be the meal we're going to prepare tonight. Oh, Super Bowl. It could be the snacks we're going to have for Super Bowl. And instead of meeting anyone that we come in contact with in that moment, we're looping on whether it should be, I don't know, Cheetos, or I was in the grocery store earlier, that's why I was running, and it was a serious energy. Oh, and everything on the walls were Super Bowl little pretzels in the shape of a football. So even if you don't want to get involved, you're there, right? You're involved. And so we have so many things that are inviting us into that loop, right? So, and it's not even when we engage with someone, it's just being fully present with where we are. Like with the plant, like really appreciating that it's green and it's one leaf is shiny and the other leaf is not. I wonder why that is. And is it getting enough water? Is there sufficient sun? When's the last time I gave it some goodies, like what is it, Miracle-Gro or something like that? You know, like just being present for that thing. And really, that's what keeps us from looping. So there's this. We exist either looping or being present, right? We and every now and again we break out of the loop and we get present, and but then there's a little pretzel shape like a football that brings us back into that, or whatever the thing is, the reminder, the calendar, oh, tomorrow I have this thing to do at 9 a.m. And so this whole purpose then is really about, it's not a big deal, right? It's just simply to be present. That's it. Like after all that thinking and all that, like what's the purpose? What I came back to was a Heart Sutra, right? Prajna, the heart of perfect understanding. The Prajnaparamita Sutra, the sutra about the wisdom. It's the wisdom of why we are here. It's, you know, the Prajnaparamita Sutra is you know, if not the sutra, one of the sutras of within the Mahayana tradition. And there's chanting of the Prajnaparamita Sutra, which we'll listen to at the end, the Plum Village one. But this is such a deep teaching, and the depth of this teaching is this realization of this perfect understanding, really, of why we're here. Perfect understanding that we're not separate, that in any moment we can be engaged with the plant or the person, the fruit, if we're not in a mind state that has taken over our the way we think. And that in that moment when we're present, we realize the non-separate nature of ourselves. And that brings us joy because now we're connected and now we don't feel alone and now we're not depressed and now we don't have anxiety. And now we don't want to hurt ourselves and others. And when I say that, I mean by doing things that don't make us healthy. We don't go off and practice some, do some behavior that can cause us harm, even though it might not directly cause us harm. Eating too much, eating too little, drinking too much, binging on some, whatever it is. That this understanding of the non-separate nature brings us joy. It's actually joyful. It's actually a pleasure to feel like we are not alone. Like the deepest understanding that I am not a separate entity, that I have this huge network of connection to everything else. Like when we really drop into that is a joyful state. That is a state of contentment. Because in that moment, we don't feel like we need to grasp for anything anymore. We don't need to get the thing that's going to make me connected to everybody and be okay. You see, because we live in this constant state. I mean, part of that grasp, that looping is the grasping for the next thing, is the grasping for the thing that's going to make it right, the thing that's going to make us whole, the thing that's going to make us lovable, the thing that's going to make us perfect, the thing that's going to make our partners love us more, the thing that's going to make our parents love us more and treat us the way we've always wanted them to treat us, and that'll make our children love us and treat us in the way our friends see our value. Yeah, it's this. But when we all of a sudden remember that we're connected to something even greater, that we're not just this finite entity with this self identity, Maricela, this separate from you and you and the man upstairs that kindly went and answered the door when Barbara came. Like when we realize that we're not separate, there's a burden that just drops off. And now it's everything's content. And so we move through the world very differently. Because when we're in a state of contentment, we have so much more spaciousness that we can actually see further, see beyond the constructions that we put around us. And then we actually really live into this humanity, this authentic, spacious self that is here with a big heart and offering that heart to the world. If you look in every spiritual tradition, every tradition preaches or teaches or tells you that we are here to be loved. You know, we are here to figure out love, and that if we can figure out that love, that it's a journey that's worth spending our whole life figuring out just that, just love. And the moments when we feel that we don't need to grasp or find love, or we don't need to go and grasp someone and love them up, and sometimes too tightly, and then we wonder what's going on. Those are the moments when we are loved, meaning we're not loving, trying to love, and we're not grasping for love. We are just love. So what comes from that love? What comes from that full openness, that connection, the ability to see the non-separate self this teaching on emptiness that is also very big in our tradition and Mahayana tradition, right, which is part of the Prajnaparamita Sutra as well, right? That when we realize that we're non-separate entities, that we are conditioned from all the things that come around us, then we wake up and then we have perfect understanding. And in that perfect understanding, there is love. There is this, there's nothing else but love. And so, what is it? What does that feel like? Like, what does being loved feel like? Not being loved. So I just said being loved, but what I meant is being as a being of love, not someone loving us in the customary ways that we seek love, and not offering love in the customary ways that we offer love. Like, what does that, when we're not either, well, practicing that in these ways, especially, February 14th is coming up. This is Valentine's Day, and it means something, right? It has we put a meaning on this word, and Valentine's Day, at least a consuming way that we do it. We give chocolates, and I do it too. I bought some chocolates for to so it's part of how we show it. But what is it that, what is it, what is love? Like, what is a heart of love? Is it a moment when we offer a smile and it has nothing attached to it? It's just, I am so content in myself that the only thing that can come out of this mind-body formation is love. There's no fabricating, I'm going to offer love now. It's just a state of being, of connection, of understanding that we are not separate, and that when we drop into that, there's something that comes out of that. So the teachings say that when we truly understand, it changes our lives forever. When we truly, not book knowledge. So not when we study all these things, and this goes for the sutras as well and the teachings. It's not an accumulation of knowledge. It's the when we drop into the perfect understanding. That's what that sutra is, the heart of perfect understanding. What when we drop into that state, until we drop into it and we actually experience it, we don't really know what is this being capable of, because something happens when you drop into a state of non-separateness, of feeling content and feeling connected. And there's something that is transformed, that in that moment, there's something else that comes out. There's a different energy. And then we go right back into the separateness, the identity of the self, the next thing we need to do. And then that was manifest out of that state of being. It disappears. And sometimes we try to grasp it, but you can't grasp it either, because you're not supposed to. Because grasping onto it is part of the locking things, constructing it into boxes, and making them separate again, right? So it's a really simple journey. The purpose on this world, in this life. And it's really important to, I feel, to touch these, to really drop into this understanding. Because we're in a state of society where the foundations are unstable. Things are shifting, you know, like the plates are shifting, right? And so in these times of great unsettling of change, it's very, very important to remember that even as harmful and difficult and chaotic and violent that these times are, what is still really our purpose here? In this form, in this lifetime that we have been blessed in this form. We are here for a reason. We're not by chance. Nothing happens by chance. And so we are in this lifetime, in this form, for a reason, and in this time and space for a reason. And so when all the things are happening and things are moving, and there's an unknown of what's going to happen next, right? We, you know, who knows? Trump may get up tomorrow morning and, you know, whatever, we don't know. And yet, or maybe Elon Musk will become vice president because he's going to authorize it. You know, it's like that, right? That's how unclear it is right now, right? So in these moments, it's really, really important to remember why we're here. Not by chance, and to remember that the spiritual foundation that we are building our clear understanding on is actually bigger than anything that's happening right now in this big external world around us. And to really come back to that, because if we don't come back to that, we're going to get caught up in what thing we need to do to address the bigger things. But the understanding that comes from coming back to remembering why we're here is going to be what allows us to know how we take care of these external formations. Because they're external formations that are conditioned on things. And so the more we can come back to our unconditioned nature and find that real trueness of that is our steadiness. That's going to be the boat that keeps us rowing forward into our understanding. So, I had some things I wanted to share, but I think that was it. I think that's good for today. Thank you for your deep listening. I'll invite a bell and invite everyone to let the Dharma flow through you and don't hold on to it, just let it go.